I don't know if Carson didn't know what he was. This is a helicopter, and these are like bags of water, and this guy, and there's fire down here. This was just a prophetic drawing by a little boy. We need to. And there's fire. And this is like a camera or something, but like long distance. So he can see through that things way down. And when Carson was telling me this, he didn't know what he was talking about. He only knew what he saw. And what God was saying to me when he was saying this is that there are people that are going to hell on this earth, and they're on fire, literally, and they're already burning, and that this man in this helicopter pictures those of us who have the heart of God and care about people, and that we have the water to help put the fire out, and that he can see right into their lives. And he said, Pastor Harvey, he says, with this little camera, he can see a match in somebody's hand when they're in the forest from way up. I'm just telling you, you know, we miss so much because we want to understand everything with our little pea brains, you know? And we so much need to lay that down. I'm going to tell you again. You are an eternal spirit. I want you to turn to Psalm 19 and Psalm 91 and Luke 15. You're an eternal spirit. You are not a body that has a spirit. You are an eternal being that are temporarily living in this house. Do you understand?
Yes.
The house you're living in, you didn't live in it 5 years ago, right? Or 10 years ago, or whatever it was, 20 years ago. Some of you have been able to stay in one house for a while. Not me. Lord doesn't let me do that too much. Oh, good for you, good for you. So 25 years ago, you were not in that house. You were in a different house. That's my point. You are not this body. This is temporary. You're an eternal being. You're an eternal being. You need to know that. Psalm 19. I'm doing, God is just like, I just love this iPod, you know? And I, all these years, carried my, you know, big old Bible, and I still read it. But it's like I have the Bible on this iPod, and I just do so many notes and stuff through it. And this morning, I get to church, and I said to Sue, I didn't bring my Bible. I'm so used to using my iPod so much. I just love this little iPod. Anyway, did I say that? Okay. Psalm 19. Here's the title today. Do you know your God? Psalm 19. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare. You understand there's three heavens. There's the heaven we call atmosphere. There's the next heaven that's called outer space. And there's the heaven where God dwells, the eternal heaven, okay? Paul says, I was caught up into the third heaven. I didn't make this up, folks. I got it out of the book, okay? When I came to him, I was a drug dealer. And I said, look, I'm 20 years old. All this stuff that I've been taught by churches, it didn't help me a bit. I was on my way to hell. It didn't do a thing for me. I was miserable. I was lonely. I was empty. And now I met Jesus. So Jesus, what is the truth? I got all these opinions like everybody else. You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. They just smell. Who cares what your opinion is? Okay? What about truth? Truth is eternal. Sorry, are you with me? Truth is eternal. It doesn't change based on trends. You know? It's true, whether you believe it or not. But when you get into it, it sets you free because you're getting into truth. The rest of it is lies and deception. Jesus, I'm trying to get just right through this. Let's see if we could just read this. I don't know that we can, but let's just try. The heavens declare. Remember I told you God made me in His image? God's a jabberjaw. The heavens declare. They proclaim the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. It doesn't matter where you go. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You go over the whole earth and it's declaring God, whether they understand Him as God or not, whether they understand His name as Jesus or not. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle, in His creation, in His firmament, in His creation, I don't know a better way to say it, hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, like a tent, a covering, which is as the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Wow! We want to get married, right, Gary? Coming out of the bride chamber. Wow! You got it? Okay. Dude. We're going to help us, Lord. Okay. And His going forth is from the end of the heaven, God. And His circuit, the sun. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and His circuit of the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God is so big. You can run, but you can't hide.
Right.
Now watch this. The law of the Lord. Remember the title of the sermon? Do you know your God? The law of the Lord is perfect, complete. What does it do? Converting the soul. Do you know what your soul is? It's your mind, will, and emotions. And those are converted from lies to truth, from darkness to light. Are you with me? The testimony of the Lord. Do you have a testimony? You have to have a test to have a testimony. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. If you went over into Psalm 119, there's 176 verses there, longest chapter in the Bible, broken up into 8 verses, 22 stanzas each. And if you went there, you would find that there's many names or titles given for the Word of God, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. You can find them right here in Psalm 19. The statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Got it? Talking about the Word of God. Do you understand? The Word of God is what this is talking about. Do you see what it does for you? Do you know your God? Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. This, I found thy word and I did eat it. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's like, this is my necessary food. It's more important than my necessary food. We don't like to go a day without eating. I told you, had a hard time getting a habit of reading the Bible until God challenged me with Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, but I have esteemed, I have made important, I have regarded the words of thy mouth are more important than my necessary food. He said, you like to go? He said, do you like to eat? I said, you can see it. He said, well, Harv, he said, this is more important because you need to feed your spirit, man. He said, how about if you put this in your heart before you put that food in your mouth every day? It wasn't hard for me to develop a habit of reading the Bible because I like to eat. And that's what I told him 32 years ago when he challenged me with that. Okay, I won't put any food in my mouth until I put your word in my heart. That's how I've read this from cover to cover over 75 times. That's how I've memorized thousands and thousands of verses. Because this is my life. It's not something I do on Sunday. It's not a book on a shelf. It is the book. It's the only book. It is my life. It is Jesus in print. John 1:1. I'm about to just bust here. Okay, are you ready? Psalm 19. His word is more to be desired than gold, sweeter than the honey or the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by his word, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Do you understand why you sin? Do you? I know. After we do it, we go, why did I do that? I want to go back to verse 11. Moreover, by them, by the word of God, is your servant warned. Are you ready? Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. If God left us alone for a minute, we would go away from him. Our heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I do stuff for people as God leads, and then they say, oh, you're a good man. And I'll say, no. I'm not God. No, there's none good but one, and he is God. No, I'm not good. Harvey without Jesus makes me nauseous. I know he'd make you nauseous. I am not good. I must have got out of the way and you got a dose of Jesus. I'm so glad. Because when you get a dose of me, I'm sorry, you get to practice forgiveness. And I keep getting all these gifts of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Because I need them. If God left us alone for a minute, we go away from God. We go away from him. That is our heart's inclination. That is what's called our nature. So, by the word of God, that's why it's so important to read it every day. And we don't just... We're talking about a minimum of 3 chapters a day. How many meals do you eat at least? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I know you. I know you graze. But I'm talking about the rest of you. Like, isn't it called breakfast, lunch, and dinner or something like that? Okay. See, I used to be on a seafood diet too, and then I couldn't see it and I couldn't eat. So I had to go on a light diet. So when it's light, I eat. And when it gets dark, I turn the lights on. Because I like to graze too, you know. I'm so glad God's starting heaven off with the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is so cool. You know, see, God's man after my own heart. I love it. Maybe I'm after his heart. But the point is we need to read this minimum 3 chapters a day. We need to get this in us. It needs to become our life. We've got so much stinking thinking. Everywhere you drive, billboards, signs, people talking about blah, 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 computers, iPods, telling you stupid, stinking, sinful, blah! You know?
Yes.
Did y'all get that on tape? Ah! Okay. I hate it. We need truth. We need life. We need this. We need to constantly be reminded. Okay. can't wait. Lord, we got to get Luke 15. Okay, here we go. Verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of the word of God, there is great reward. Is God telling the truth, or is he just, this only applies to some people? And in keeping of them, there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? God, he says, I can't figure out why I do what I do. I love you, and then I turn around. Why? It's because our heart. And he says, he cries out in desperation, oh, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then, please, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous or proud or arrogant sins. Let them not have dominion over me. I'm so glad for Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you if you're in Jesus. Then, when they don't have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then he breaks out into song, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord. Okay, Psalm 91, are you there? Verse 1. Tell me when you're there. Are you there? Okay, we'll wait. Because you're worth waiting for. Tell me when you're there. Psalm 91. Everybody there? Anybody not there? Okay. He that dwelleth. That word dwell, it's like you live in a dwelling. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protection of the Almighty. Now, how can you beat that? I'm just wondering. Verse 2. I will say of the Lord. See, this is a personal choice. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God. In Him will I trust. That's what they used to have on American coins. In God we trust. But because the country is getting away from God, they're taking those words and putting them on the edge. Because they don't want God. What I wrote in here is, God is my safe place.
Yeah.
God is my safe place. Verse 3. Surely, truly, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the enemy who comes and tries to snare you, and from the noisome pestilence, the problems, the plagues, whatever is coming. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. But who's it happening to? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Are you with me? Do you know your God? Where are you hanging out? Oh, I'm just telling you. Sorry, I'm so addicted. I can't understand it. You go right ahead, brother. Thank you. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Sounds like a soft place to me. And under His wings shalt thou trust. See, He's bigger than me. That's why I'm under His shadow. I wish I would have had a big brother when I was growing up, because I was the big brother. And when I graduated high school, I was only about this big. So I wasn't a very big brother. You know what I mean? But I wish I would have had a big brother. In high school, I used to make friends with guys. Remember this one guy? We called him Football because he had a scar on his head, kind of looked like the shape of a football, kind of at an angle or something. And one day this kid goes, let me hold a quarter. And all these kids were lined in the hallway, you know, and I was walking through, and they're all bigger than me. Let me hold a quarter. I said, I have money in my pocket, but I didn't like people tried to take it from me or whatever. It's like, if I want to give it to you, I'll let you know. I gave it away all the time, but I don't like people trying to take it from me. And I said, no. And he starts getting up in my face, and Football came by. I didn't even see Football. All of a sudden, he just grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and went, like that, and the kid flew across the hallway and hit the brick wall, just kind of, I looked at her, whoa, you know, it looked like a sack of potatoes flying through the air. Football goes, you okay? You okay, buddy? He was my, see, I was under his shadow. He took care of me because, see, other people made fun of him, but I didn't make fun of him. I was friendly to him. I was kind to him. I talked to him. I showed respect unto him. So this little boogerhead tried to mess with me, and football just took care of him. Sorry. Anyway, there's a story for you. Okay. Now, where are we? Deep, 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 deep. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What's it say in 1 John 4:18? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or complete or mature in love. So what were we talking about? When you're dwelling in Him, you're dwelling in love. And you don't have to be afraid. Folks, is this just my imagination? Have you ever read the newspaper lately or looked at stuff on the news on the internet? You think bad stuff is coming, or is it already here, or is it going to get worse, you think? Oh, it'll just get better, because we're all good people. We're just going to, it'll just all just get better, right? He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shall you trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He says, you shall not be afraid for the terror that comes by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. 24/7, he's got you covered. You got it? So what are we doing? We're hanging out with him. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now watch. Unfortunately, remember this? Unfortunately, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. What are we here for? We're here to rescue the perishing. We're here to be God's ambassadors. We're here to reveal and release Jesus unto others. Because 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 shall fall at thy right hand, but it's not going to come near you. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and see what I'll do. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why, you say? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He wasn't your visitation. You didn't go visit him for an hour on Sunday. He was your habitation. You lived with him. Amen. Is anybody getting this? I just wanted to know. Okay? Are you getting this? You'd almost, these things we say around here, you'd almost think we got them out of the book. You'd almost. You know? Dude, Dave, I can't understand it. I'm going to have to sit down a minute because I can't stand it. There shall no evil befall thee. How much evil? Not much. No, it says no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? For God's going to give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Even when you're doing dumb stuff, he'll keep you in your ways as long as you're hanging out with him. You know, because we miss it. Don't we miss it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Does anybody else miss it? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else honest? Oh, thank you for those hands. Okay, here we go. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against stone. Remember, when you hear me pray for you, I say, God, we don't want you to just help us. We want you to carry us. They shall bear thee up in their hands. Where do you think we get this stuff? What do we? I mean, isn't it just so cool? Y'all know these. Have you ever read these chapters before? Have you ever read these chapters before? You ought to memorize them. I did. You ready? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the dangerous snake. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Why? God says, because you have set your love upon me. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Have you chosen to love Jesus?
Yes.
Therefore, God says, therefore, he stands up. Will I deliver him? I will set him on high. Why? Because he's known my name. I'm not generic God. God bless America. What God? And what is it you want him to bless? Verse 15. God says, he shall call upon me, and I'm going to answer him. I'm going to be with him. Whew. That's just all I want. Just God, just be with me. And then he says, even in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, my deliverance. Now you're in Luke 15. Luke 15, starting with verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. I read it a little bit to you last week because I got to the end and I didn't get to preach Luke 11 or Luke 15 last week. But maybe we get started on it this week. You ready? Do you know your God? Jesus. Now we call this the parable of the prodigal son. You ever heard that? The word prodigal, you know what it means? It means wasteful. It's called the prodigal of the prodigal son. But it's not, I don't think, the prodigal son. I don't think that's the way it's titled. In my iPod, it's titled The Parable of the Compassionate Father. I like that. But what I like even more is, it's a story of a dad with two lost sons. And what's a dad like with these two lost sons? What are we supposed to be like to the world? What are we supposed to be like to the unsaved? Yeah. Be nice to the wrong crowd, my preacher used to say, but you don't run with the wrong crowd. You be nice to the wrong crowd, but you don't run with the wrong crowd. Have you ever noticed when you get with me, conversation goes the way I want it to go? Have you ever noticed that? Is there anybody who's ever noticed that? I'm sorry. It's not just because I'm controlling, because I've broken agreement with that. But it's because I'm not going to think about all that stinking thinking that other people are going to think about. And I'll help you with your things, but we're not going to live there. Do you understand? I don't live in despair and defeat and destruction and misery and all that stuff, you know. Like when I throw up, I want to get rid of it. I don't want to leave it in my living room. Do you understand? Is anybody getting this, or do I need to make it a little more clear? Okay. Just wanting to know, you know, I put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Y'all getting it? Okay. Here we go. You ready? Verse 11. Now remember the title of the sermon. What is it? Do you know your God? Do you know him? Let's keep reading. And he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the dad divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted, there's that word prodigal, wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, you remember that little saying? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He already was out of stuff. Now all of a sudden there's a famine, and everybody's hurting. And he began to be in want. What a simple way to say that place that we've lived. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent, and that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. Dude, have you ever seen what they eat? Has any of you ever raised pigs? And when you go to feed them, what do you call it? It's a four-letter word. And it's not something we want to eat, is it? But this is who he gets to hang out with. Jesus, have mercy. And verse 16, and he would have desired to fill his belly with the husk, the outside of the corn. Have you ever eaten those leaves? Have you ever plucked corn? Have you ever eaten the outside leaves? Isn't that good? You need more ranch, babe, because it's dry. You know what I'm saying? And he was so hungry that he desired to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And beside that, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's because he was beside himself. Sin will make you mad, crazy. It will mess you up. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants, how many people working for my dad have bread enough and even more so? And here I am perishing with hunger. Ding! I know what I'll do. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Would you just make me as one of thy hired servants? And then he didn't just talk about it, give lip service and think about it. He actually got up off his blessed assurance and went and did something. You could have good intentions and go to hell.
Right.
What's your decision? And he arose. He got up and went and came to his father. What's the title of the sermon? Do you know your God? And here's his father, who's like God. You ready? But when this man, this young man who had gone off, wasted all his substance with riotous living, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a low-down, sorry, scumbait sinner, wretched like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. And his servants and dad began to be merry. Now we got the other son, the religious son, the one who everybody, when they looked at, thought, but he's doing all this good stuff. He stayed at home. He didn't run off like the other brother. He must be okay. Let's look at this son. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Reminds me of being raised as a Baptist, and they told me it was a sin to dance. And you can't have drums, and you can't tap your feet, because that's dancing. And it must. And I said, well, what do we do with the part about raising hands, and what do we do? And I kept going to my preacher, and that's not for us today. You know, it's like, okay, do I cut that part out, preacher? Anyway, okay, are you ready? That's right. That's right. Or you need to use the bathroom? That's right. No, I'm just so excited. I can't really stay here. When are we going to get up? Now, the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh the house and heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants. and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, "Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And this young man, does he resemble the dad? Verse 28, "And he was angry and would not go in," being a little bit judgmental and condemning and legalistic. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him," begged him, pleaded with him. And he, the young man, after hearing his dad, what was really in his heart came out. He answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment," you were perfect, "and yet thou never gavest me a kid," you know, a lamb, "that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come," which, by the way, dad, "had devoured thy living with harlots," whores, prostitutes, "thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." You took the special calf that we were keeping for a special day, and you gave it to him. And the dad, "Do you know your God?" And the dad said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, it was fit, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." I believe it's a story of a dad, a godly dad with two lost sons. Do you know your God? You know what Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says? You want to turn there? If you don't, you might as well, because we're going to go there. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says, verse 1, "Oh, that my head were many waters." God cries a lot. He's a crybaby. 9:23 and 24, are you there? "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. And what am I like? I exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Philippians chapter 3, New Testament. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? Is anybody not there? Philippians 3, 1. Are you ready? Verse 10 is the key verse, but I just couldn't just only read that. Something about letting you hear the Word of God. You ready?
Yeah.
Philippians 3, 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now that verse right there, Glenn, is why I keep repeating things. See, it's okay. I don't mind repeating it over and over until you get it. See, you don't get to fail. We're just going to keep repeating until you get it. Okay, isn't that so cool? Now, notice verse 2. He says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." You know what that word concision means? It means a cutting off, or what was the other thing it meant there? No, not that word. The concision word. It meant a cutting off, a cutting down, or a mutilation. See, circumcision was a cutting. It was a covenant. Okay? It was a cutting, like saying, we're cutting the flesh so that we can give God freedom. We don't want to live in the flesh. But the concision was a cutting down. Sounds like religious people, you know, Pharisees and it's judgmental people. I mean, it doesn't have to even be in church, just people that have that kind of attitude, you know, cutting down a mutilation. They take the things of God and they pervert it. But you ready? Just hold your place because I'm just going to read you this verse. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I just sharing some things with you. Some of y'all this will work for, and others you just... But it's okay. Are you ready? Verse 3. It says, beware of those people, for we are the circumcision. And what are those people? We worship God in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have no confidence in the flesh. And then, I'm just throwing this in for somebody. Verse 4. Though I might also, Paul says, have confidence in the flesh. He says, you want to trust in the flesh? He says, I can have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I was raised as a Jew, and look what I did. I did everything perfect according to the law. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. You couldn't get any more strict than that. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. I kept all 613 laws that the Jews had of what you had to do. They took the Ten Commandments and they thought they'd just, you know, embellish a little bit, you know. And they turned in 613 laws. And he says, concerning the law, I was blameless. He said, you want to trust in your flesh? Have you done that? Because not really anybody could say that. But verse 7, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If it's a gain to you, it's a loss for Him. You get up and preach, people, and people come up and tell you you did good, you failed. Because they saw you. They didn't see Jesus. They don't need us. They need the Jesus in us. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Why? That I may obtain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may know Him. For whom, for Jesus, I have suffered the loss of all things. And it doesn't matter to me. I do count them but dung. Does anybody need to know what dung is? You flush it every day. Okay? He says, everything that I've lost for Christ's sake, it doesn't mean diddly squat. I do count it but dung. He said, it's nothing. It was just in the way that I may win Christ. And be found in Him. Verse 9. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, and we only get it by faith. Verse 10. That I may know Him. To know Jesus. And the power of His resurrection. And the how are you going to know Him? You're going to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Being made conformable unto His death. Luke 9:23. There's a cross pen. I call it my cross pen verse. People, I'll see them and they got a cross pen. I'll say, oh, you got a Luke 9:23 pen? And they go, Luke 9:23? With a question mark. It's just my little way to get them to ask me what Luke 9:23 is. I say, yes. And Luke 9:23, Jesus says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, that I may know Him. Do you know your God? Is He your Father? Are you begotten of Him. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. After that, we're going to Matthew 6. Are you there? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay, verse 10. You ready? Is He your Father? Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers, the agreement of our fathers? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Have you ever heard of what you call the Lord's Prayer? I call it the model prayer because His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. It's a model prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. You want the Lord's Prayer? Go over to John 17 and you'll find the Lord's Prayer. It's the whole chapter. He's praying for you and me. But you want the model prayer of how to pray? He starts off with this. You see, the Jews prayed to Him as God, Almighty God, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and all this, right? All these big things when you read in the Old Testament. Jesus said, I'm going to show you a new way. Our Father. And then when you get to know Him, He becomes your Abba Father, your term of endearment. He becomes your Daddy God. That's who He is to me. Do you know your God? John 17:3. Remember, we're talking about knowing God. Is He your Daddy? John 17:3. And this is life eternal. Are you listening? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Do you know your God? Is He your Father? What kind of Daddy, Abba, is He to you? See you later. In Romans 8:15, and if you want to do a study on Abba, Galatians 4, 1 through 7, talks about Abba. There's another verse, but I'm not giving you that one. But the point is, matter of fact, in I think it's Mark 14:36, where Jesus, getting ready to go to the cross, when He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Well, in the account in the book of Mark, He says, Abba, Father, Daddy, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will be done. Because He saw me and saw my need. Do you understand? Do you know Him as Abba, Father? We've got these two boys. Let's start off with the first one. The first one, He says in the beginning of the story in Luke 15, about verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger came to him and said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, that belongeth to me. He says, give me my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. I'm young. I'm smarter than you are. I don't want to be under your rules anymore. I want to go and do, I can handle this money. Just give it to me now. He didn't say, why don't you trust me with a little and see what I do with it. If I do good, then you could get, no. Give it all to me now. How do you think we would respond if one of our kids came and talked to us? How would we respond? How would you respond? Not good, right? As Glenn would say, it wouldn't be pretty, right? But how did the Father respond? What do you think the Father said? Because it doesn't say what He said. What do you think He said? Do you think the Father was just a little marshmallow? And just, oh, okay. And just gave it to Him? The Father may have said, son, I've taught you about principles and I shared with you, but you're of age and if this is what you want to do, this isn't what I would suggest. I'm not sure this is going to work out the way you think, but here you go. He took an account of what He had. He didn't go mortgage the house and everything. He just took an account of what He had, and then He took all that He could give to them right then, and he divided it in half. And he took Dan's portion and said, "Here, Dan." And you'll, though it doesn't say it, it makes it clear later in that chapter that, or you know, in a few verses later, that he also took the other part and gave it to the older son. But the older son said, "No, Dad, I'll trust you with it. No, Dad, I'll wait for mine." But it's evident that he would give it. The heart of the father said in verse 31, "Son, my son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." There's a whole part of this we could talk about the two sons. And I made all these comparisons last night when I was reading all this, and God was just showing this. But I don't want to talk about the sons. I want to talk about God. I want to talk about the Father. Do you know your God? How did the dad respond? You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, are you in 1 Corinthians 13? Y'all were just right there, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 4. How did the dad respond? Tell me if this sounds like how the dad responded, if he was like this. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not." Charity vaunteth not, or doesn't lift itself up. It's not puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly or unkind or unfit toward another person. Charity does not, or godly love does not seek her own. It's not easily provoked. I would have had a hard time when one of my kids did this. I think I would have been easily provoked, man. And charity thinketh no evil. Wasn't judging him. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It does, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. I'm going to believe the best about you, son. I'm going to hope the best. I'm afraid it, but I'm going to believe in you. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And charity never fails. There's the love of God. There's God's love. How did the dad respond? A little down further, verse 17 and 19. After he had gone through his catastrophe because it didn't work, what was the father like? The boy starts remembering what his dad's like. Man, there's enough back there. Even the servants have enough and more. How did the young man begin to remember his dad? See, when he was home, he couldn't wait to get away from him. "I'm 18. I don't have to stay at home anymore. I'll get out. I know what I'm doing." Yeah, I've only been around for 54 years. I wish I knew as much as you, because I remember when I was a teenager, I knew everything. I couldn't believe how dumb my parents were. And then when I met Sue, I was 20, and I just met Jesus. And when I met Sue, I was 20, and all of a sudden, my brain starts thinking different about what it's going to be like now taking on a wife and four kids, because she had four kids when I married her. So see, I married five people. I didn't marry one. But it was who God told me to marry as soon as I met her. After I got saved, I got to have a wife. I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I don't know who to choose. I mean, what am I going to choose? One of these girls, these space cadets, these Captain Quaalude and Sergeant Secondo? I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you where it was at. I don't want to be married to one of these. I'm sorry. Not for the rest of my life. I'm so glad I only lived with them. I wish I hadn't done that. But that was bad enough. And now, God, I need a wife. Girl, nope. Girl, nope. Nope, 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 nope. No, nope. Meet Sue. Marry her. Okay. We marry wife. We marry her. We see her. It's like, how did all of a sudden my brain is realizing I'm going to get married. I start thinking different. Dan and Kristen are going to get married in June, and we're going to do the wedding. We've already been doing the counseling, and God said, that's enough. And so now y'all get married, and they said, we got it all set for June, and we're going to do all that. But they're thinking different than they thought before. It's like it brings you, you know, the wheels hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? It's like rubber meets rubber. Yeah. Is anybody getting this?
Yeah.
I mean, did I lose you or something? And we're thinking different. And this boy has come to the end of himself. He's found out what his dad was trying to tell him when he was growing up, but he couldn't hear. He found out. He had to go through it the hard way, and most of us learn best at the end of a 2x4. You know, it's really sad that the word says a servant will not be corrected by words, and I like to end the verse, but we'll learn best at the end of a 2x4. That's where I've learned a lot. When I get hit real hard, I get it. Because it stops and I got to get all the stars to quit going. And oh, I get it. The answer is no. I see. This is not an option. I see. I got it. Duh. Thanks, Lord. He's like, no problem, Arb. I'll take as long as you need. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not disappointed. The boy came to the end of himself and he realizes, look what I got myself into. Look what's going on in my life. Now he's thinking different. He's remembering Dad. You know, the one he couldn't wait to get away from? The one that he didn't just want to get away from, but he went into a far country. He went into the world. What does the world do? The world hates you. I'm sorry. As long as you do everything their way, they act like they're your friend. But there's givers and there's takers. Which one do you think they are? The people that are not after God. Because God's a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave. Isn't that something? And then there's takers. So the boy's thinking different. And in verse 20, have you looked at verse 20? What does it tell us about the dad? Look at verse 20. Tell me what that verse tells you about the dad of this young man. Don't worry, I'll wait. I'm not in a hurry. We're in Luke 15, verse 20. I got a whole list here. I'll just wait. What does verse 20 tell us about the dad? He was looking. Isn't that something? And you know what's really neat? When I was looking at this. He saw him before anybody else. You know why? Because everybody else had given up on him. Everybody else had written him off.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of a different kind of church. Have you noticed? Isn't it? And you know something? One of the things is because it doesn't matter where you come from, what you were doing, even last night, we're going to love you, and we're going to believe in you, and we're going to just keep helping you. Now, we can't just keep pouring money down a hole. We're not a bank. You know what I'm saying? But any way we can, we're here for you. And it's like we love you, and we're going to believe in you, and we're going to stick with you to the end. God made me weird, as if you didn't know, but this part, maybe you didn't know. I don't have a cutoff place. There's people, there's somebody that you may know that it took them 10 years after they got saved through our ministry, and they would come for a little bit, and then they would leave, and then they would come for a little bit, and then they would leave, and then they would come for a little bit, and then they would leave. And each time that they left, it was a longer period of time to where they even stayed away from us for years. And yet God, 10 years ago, told us, they're one of yours. They didn't just get saved through your ministry and come to meet Jesus. But they're one that you're going to have the rest of your life. And you're going to love them and you're going to grow them. And they're going to get released and you're going to send them out. And I'm going, Lord, something. Hope I'm not. And if I need a bib. And so anyway, and now what's amazing is all this time, no matter what they did, what they said, every time they came back, we kept being here for them. Every time. It's not because I'm better, it's just because that's how God made me. It's because we're going to believe in you. We're here to the end. Love loves to the end. Remember Romans 5:8? But God introduced His love. It's a whole different kind of love. God introduced His love toward us in that while we were messing up, while we were yet sinners, while we were stinkers, Christ died for us. Not while we were doing good and dressing right and everybody smiling and saying they're a Christian. It doesn't mean diddly squat. What it means is God loves us just like we are. Have we been talking about the love of God? Has it helped anybody in here just to see Him a little different? Because we haven't experienced it so much in this world. Our parents didn't know how to love us right. We haven't known how to love others right. Oh, I love you. If the definition of love is doing what's best for another in the long run, no matter their response, even to the laying down of your own life, do we really know how to love? Are we really loving? Or is it selfish love, self-love? I'm trying to get what I want. I love you when you're doing right. If you're keeping the list, not keeping the list, is that love? That's conditional love, isn't it? So what can we learn about the dad in verse 20? The young lady said, he was looking for us. He was looking. And he saw him when nobody else saw him. Because he never gave up on him. What else can we learn about the dad in verse 20? Yes, Gordon. You mean the dad did not make him beg or give him the look, but ran to him? Did you know that the most godly person in a relationship always makes the first move? Because it requires great humility and self-sacrificing love. Let's see. Forgiving. I know. That's awesome. Compassion. Let's talk about that compassion. He yearned for his son. It just ached inside of him. He wanted that son so much. It drove him every day. Why didn't others see him? Maybe it's because he went up to a higher place so he could see further off. Because it says, while he was yet a great way off. Some of you, when you come here, you're still a great way off. I'm sorry. I just love you where you're at, but I can see that you're a great way off. But I love you. Do you understand? Because God loves you. Do you understand? It's not like we're blind to this. I know you want to put up a little veneer, a little, you know, here's my public appearance. No. We see. Look, I've been down the road. You're not faking me out. You can sit down if you want, or you can stand there all day. Whichever you want. He saw him. He had compassion. He yearned for his son. Can you relate to this? Dude. He never gave up on him. He saw him before others did. That's what we seem to see. See, there's people that when we have these churches and we minister to people, after we work with you for a while, other churches want you to come to them, but they don't want you to come to them until we work with you for a while. Because they can't see you. They can only see what you're doing. Because they're not looking at the real you. They're not seeing you through the eyes of God. Are you understanding? Go ahead. You got more to say. Just see it. Go ahead. Yes, sir. And what do you think it did to him when the son didn't just want his living? I don't trust you. I'm chafed under following your instructions and your directions and having to work like the older son out in the field all day. But Dad, Father, I'm leaving. I'm getting far away from you. How do you think that made a dad feel? See, God, in Romans 10:21, last verse, it says, God says, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. When you read that verse, we have a tendency to want to think about what the end part was, disobedient, gainsaying people. People have to answer again, smart mouth. Okay? But let's go back to what is God like. All day long have I stretched forth my hands. All day long have I begged you, come to me. All day long, I want you. You're worth waiting for. That's how God sees you. Do you understand? We're talking about the Father. He didn't make him beg. He ran to him. He didn't wait. Well, yes. Did you get it? Do you understand yet? I told you so. Well, those are words kids want to hear. I told you so. Thank you. He didn't give him the look. He ran to him. He was tender-hearted. You know what else he was? Yeah, I bet you don't have it in your notes. He was huggy. You know, I go around here huggy in all of you. That's why. Because he's huggy. People come here. Y'all are like the huggin'est people. Arms wide open. Heart exposed. Arms wide open. Bleeding. Sometimes pleading. He was huggy. Even when he was so loathsome from the smell of what he had been around, he didn't want it on him. Most people wouldn't. It had to be the love of God reaching out. He was very affectionate. He was vulnerable. The Father was. Forgiving, gracious, and he gave his best. There is so much more. Are you getting an idea? Are you getting to know your God just a little bit different than this idea we've had all our lives of this big stern taskmaster, you know, with a stick? Is that your God? Because you don't know my God then, if that's what you think. But that's what I used to think. Because that's what my dad and mom pictured. And that's what they pictured at school and everywhere I went. I told you, when I grew up, I just thought you were supposed to get a spanking every day. So I got one at home, and then I went to school and got one, and then I came back home and got another one. Thank you, Jesus. It was so much fun. But it didn't help me to know God. Help me to develop discipline, but it didn't help me to know God. Questions, comments. Well, how about this question? Do you want to know the real God? Yeah. Shania, who is my daughter, who is 31. I don't know how she is. How old is Shania? 31? She was like 8 years old, I think. We came to Grand Rapids in 89. So I think if I do the math right, she was that. Anyway, somewhere around that, little kid. And she says to us, maybe she was 10, whatever. And she says to us one day, Daddy, Mommy, is heaven like church? And she says, why? She says, because if it's like church, I'm not sure I want to go because it's boring. And so God used that to help us, to challenge us. Wow, yeah, because we enjoy God more when we're not there than when we are there. So what is it? And it's like God's like, I'm trying to take you out of a box that you put me in. I'm trying to take you a little bit further. I want you to know the real me. And what it did with us is it helped us. And we said, God, we want to know the real you. And he said, well, you're going to have to bring everything you think you know. Tell me if you've ever heard this before. You have to bring everything you think you know and have experienced and lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, whatever's of you in this mess, you know, of all these things that I think are true, then I want you to sift through it. If it's not true, just do whatever you want, but get rid of it. And then bring me into oneness with you so that I would see, think, and feel about things the same way you do. I want to know truth. I dare you. Hey, you ready?
Yep.
Stand up a second.
Here.
Watch this, like this. The Bible says, provoke one another to love and good works. Have you know what the word provoke means? It's like this. Provoke. Okay, you're on the play yard out at school, you know what I mean? You provoke. Come on, you want to come on. Okay, I'm provoking you. Are you ready? That's why I had you stand up, not somebody else. You ready? He'd hit me. He's not ready for that yet. Yeah. Oh, it was you? You were the one I slapped? Okay. I do that with all kinds of people. Somebody did that to me this week. When I come there, would you mind not getting my bubble so much? I'm like, just draw a circle around you, and it'll help me, you know. Remind me, stay out of the bubble, you know. I'm sorry, I'm a bubble interrupter, you know. You ready?
Yep.
I dare you this week. Do you need me to come and push you? I will. I dare you this week. God, I want to know the real you.
I want to know the real you.
Remember the three prayers we have that we got to get those cards printed again? Remember the three prayers?
No.
Yeah. Father, please reveal to me who you really are, what you're really like. Not who I think you are through smorgasbord of different religious beliefs presented to me. And not who the world says you are, not even who the church says you are. But since you're real, would you come reveal yourself to me so I can get to really know the real you? Prayer number two. Father, please reveal to me how you personally see, think, and feel toward me. Your dreams, hopes, wishes, plans. How do you see me? And number three is a seatbelt prayer. Father, or Jesus, whatever it takes, bring me into oneness with you. If you pray those prayers, if you pray that every day, this week, next week, you're going to be different. You're going to be messed with.
Yeah.
You're going to be different.
Hallelujah.
I went into a lady's house, 60-something years age, sits there all day watching Christian TV, got varicose veins. I go to do a tub, and she wanted more work done that I couldn't do that day, so I said, I'll come back next week, get ready to leave. God said, share the three prayers with her. While I'm telling them to her, she said, I think I ought to write these down. I said, I think you ought to, too. And so she wrote them down. I came back a week later, and she said, I'll never be the same. I said, what? She said, I've been praying those three prayers twice a day, every day since you were here, and I can't even tell you how my life's already changed. She says, I'll never be the same.
Praise God.
You want to keep being the same?
No.
Then don't listen. Okay? You want more of him?
Yeah.
See, God always accepts an invitation. So I dare you to invite him. Every time I breathe, Lord, and when I quit breathing, don't worry about it. But every time I breathe, I want you to take it as a personal invitation for you to come interrupt my life with your presence. You know what's neat, Jesus, is you. I just can't even get over you. Not like I'm trying. I'm trying to get more into you. But you are just totally awesome. And I just thank you that you allow me to know you up close and personal, intimate. Jesus, it's you. It's all about you. It's all because of you. And I just say thank you for tracking me down. And not giving up on me. I ask that you would take the words spoken today, that you would speak them into hearts, to spirits, that people here would be like turkeys and gobble them up and just say, Lord, I want what was of you. Just get it inside of me. Turn me any way you need to, but don't turn me loose. I need you. And I don't know how to get to you, but you know how to get to me, so come interrupt my life with your presence. More, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, but more, Lord. More, more, more. Thank you. Now more. More. That's good. Now more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're incredible. Father, may you just help each one here to break agreement with the lies of the enemy, that they are not loved, that they are not wanted, that their life is a wreck. They're still alive. You haven't given up on them. And you brought them here. Just wrap your arms around them. May each one here just hold their little arms up and say, Daddy, would you hug me? Daddy, do you want me? Jesus? Jesus? And may they experience you. May you just overwhelm them and exceed what I'm asking in your precious name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Phew. Jesus.
We've got them written down somewhere, but we've given out so many of them, we have to print more, man. We can't keep them. It's like, dude, I'm telling you. You know what? Y'all are dismissed, but somebody just turned on some dangerous music. This is the album I listen to. I don't listen to anything but this right now. What does love look like? Is the question I've been pondering.
What does love look like?
What? Where were you going? Who were you running to? Here's Daddy.
I've been asking of you.
I'm so glad to see you.
Won't believe that love was a romance. Just a chance.